Hi, friends. Welcome to True Crime with Ivana Estelle. I'm your host, and today we are covering a case that I know you've heard of. And no, I'm not talking about the JonBenet Ramsey case. This is a case that struck a chord with anyone and everyone who heard, even a fraction of it, in 2022. With more mystery now than when it first came to be. A case about friendship, lies, jealousy, and what happens when people really take things too far. This is the case of Shanquella Robinson. I used to have a running joke. I wanted to be the least hottest person in my friend group. And before you start to boo and hit one star, I know how pretentious and shallow that sounds. But what I mean is, I never wanted any of my friends to be jealous of me. In college, I can remember a couple of girls being jealous. It was odd. It started with light comments about me talking to guys, and then about me valuing another friendship over theirs. Eventually, it came to blows, literally. Over some douchebag and like messages found on a computer, might I add. The point is, at the time, I was always so in my own head and insecure that I had no idea or reason to think or believe that they were jealous of me. But after our monumental falling out, it became very apparent. Jealousy is an evil, ugly thing. It is the root that sets the foundation for hatred and envy alike. Jealousy is hard because it's normally reflecting an inner feeling that one has about themselves. And I get it. I myself have been jealous, whether it's of how easy a person has gotten in life or the need to subconsciously compete. But whenever that happens, I always found that I ended up being miserable, unbeknownst to the other person who isn't affected at all. That is why it is best to pour into yourself. Your love and compassion and simply how you view you is vital to how you treat others. In this case, I wonder if the people involved let anger and bubbling jealousy get the best of them. If they couldn't help but feel frustrated, jealous, angry, and the result of it cost someone their life. I have my co-host Saran here with me. Depending on how this goes, you'll be hearing him every other episode. He just does such a great job, and I enjoy editing when the two of us, instead of just me, are recording. So, Saran, are you ready to talk about this case today?
I am. Thank you for having me back. And I think I do remember some of this case. I remember the outrage on Twitter, rightfully. And, so I have no idea what happened. So I'm curious to see how everything went down.
This story should start in Mexico because this case is the most interesting due to the place the crime occurred. Fighting on vacation, vacation trauma in general can stick with you. But for the story to begin, I need you to get to know Shanquella. If you haven't already seen her, she's absolutely stunning. Her photo was sprayed across countless TV screens and social media pages. It showed a brown-skinned girl with long black hair and these deep eyes. She looks like a model. But it wasn't just about her physical appearance that made her beautiful. Shanquella was just a likable person. In 2022, Shanquella was 25 years old. She was born on January 9th, 1997, and was born and raised in North Carolina. She had an older sister on her mom's side, and she was close with both her parents. She graduated from Winston-Salem State in 2018. Shanquella did really well, and she did essentially it all. She was like a Renaissance woman. She was up and coming on Instagram and was a renowned hairstylist. She owned her own business, the Exquisite Boutique, and a hair braiding salon that like specialized in children's hair, which I think is so cool. To do just kids' hair?
Yeah, normally it's wigs and braids and all that for
adults,
yeah.
Shanquella was really just doing her thing. Her parents, Bernard Robinson and Salamandra Robinson, were so proud of her. I mean, she was really doing her thing at 25. And for those of you who can recall, 25 is kind of the time you come into your own. And it was exciting. It's such a range in your 20s, but this is not the podcast for that, so we can move on. Mm-hmm. Shanquella was getting ready to go on this trip to Mexico in the fall of 2022. Now, most people know the gist of this case because it made such headline news. Shout out to social media, especially Black and Brown people on social media, because we really pushed the story. And when the viral video of Shanquella being attacked on the vacation came out, it was a disturbing reality that Shanquella's death was way more sinister than what could have even been imagined. But I'm getting ahead of myself. It was October 28th when Shanquella flew from Charlotte, North Carolina to Jose Cabo to celebrate her friend's birthday. Have you ever been? Oh, wait, we've been to Mexico.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever been.
I was trying to find a co-host question and we've already been.
You said
there.
They went to Cabo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we only been to Cancun, Tulum, right?
Oh, yeah. I guess we haven't been to Cabo. No,
I've heard about it, but I've never been.
I have been to a few birthday trips. I feel like the best ones. Well, now I gotta say Cancun because that was for our friend's birthday, and then Costa Rica was fun. Morocco, shout out to Brie coming here, Ann. The best thing about birthday trips or trips in general is traveling with people that you trust, and that doesn't always come naturally. Shanquella felt like she knew these people. And she was down to go on a trip, especially because one of her close guy friends was going to be there. Now, because this case blew up so much, I had to decipher what was real and what was kind of blown out of proportion on social media. I actually want to do something I rarely do, and I want to shout out my sources first right now. The Black Girl Gone podcast, NBC, Wikipedia, to find other sources, don't come for me. Essence and Daily Mail really helped. I remember when this case came out, I sat on, like, countless Instagram lives. I would sit and just watch, like, detectives talk about this case.
Really?
Yes.
No, doing that.
I was trying to, like, soak up as much information as I could. And now, 2 years after Shanquella's death and a year after this case came to its final findings, we can dissect as much as we can.
Okay. Let's get into it.
So, Shanquella made it to Mexico perfectly fine. She was healthy and happy and just excited.
Do you know why they went to Mexico? It was like a girls trip.
For the birthday trip.
Birthday trip.
You hear my whole monologue about birthday trips?
We could take that out then.
No, I'm keeping it. Shanquella was actually just a very go-getter girl. She traveled a lot. So this wasn't like it was like her first trip. In fact, when she told her family that she was going on this trip, they weren't surprised. They knew Shanquella had a good head on her shoulders. In fact, she ended up going on the trip with people that she'd known since college, which only doubles down on her parents' comfortability they had with her going. They told her the normal things. Keep your wits about you. Call us if you need anything. Watch what you consume. You know, the usual thing parents tell you. Now, I mentioned a close friend on the trip that made Shanquella extra comfortable. And his name is Khalil Cook. The two had been super close friends for the past 5 years. I mean, Khalil knew Shanquella well. He also knew her family. They'd hang out together, go to cookouts. He was just that friend who was close enough to know the family. You know, one of those?
Boyfriend?
No, they were just like really, really good friends. The other people on the trip were Dejanay Jackson, who knew Shanquella in college. It was actually her birthday that they were celebrating for this trip. Winter Donovan. That's spelled W-E-N-T-E-R. That kind of threw me winter. For a loop. Is it a winter? Winter.
It's an interesting name. Yeah. Winter. Yeah, Winter is a guy or girl?
It's a girl.
Okay.
And Nazir Wiggins. I actually cannot confirm the rest of the names of the other friends, but and friends I say in quotes, but these were the ones that we can really focus on for this case.
Okay.
The group Shanquella was with decided to rent a villa at the Trena Los Cabos Resort. This was like a gorgeous...
They got money.
5-bedroom, 6-bathroom residence. Perfect for everyone to have their own personal space. Which, like, yeah. At this age, yeah. I need my own room.
100%.
I'm not sure if you've ever stayed in one of these before.
A villa that's part of a resort?
I guess.
Because normally those are... When I've seen those are expensive. But obviously there's one that's like on either B&B or Vrbo.
Yeah, I think it was like something like that where could...
But sometimes resorts have villas and they charge a lot of money for those. But who knows? We don't know.
Yeah. Because for this, everyone was able to split their money. Mm-hmm. And then if you're splitting it like with an Airbnb, it's actually kind of affordable.
Yeah.
I don't want to compare it to like the ones on Zeus Network. You know,
the mansion they'd be in. I think we can compare it to the ones we've been in, like in Turks and Caicos.
We kind of like name dropping. We seem a little bit more rich than we actually are. Although it's less accessible to get to things immediately, normally, but since this was on a resort, I don't think they had to worry about that. Most people would usually go like shopping and such prior to arrival to have like groceries and stuff if they're staying in a big house and splitting it. Tranquilla and the group plan to make a quick trip from the 28th for the weekend and return on the 31st. Now, to this day, we don't really know what happened between the moment the group touched down on the 28th to what would be the recorded physical altercation I'm going to talk about later. I would imagine they went to their rooms and kind of picked which one was theirs. They were tired, excited, you shower, you get ready.
It's always like, who gets the biggest bedroom, though? Who gets the master bedroom?
Exactly.
That's always a thing.
Exactly. But Tranquilla calls her mom that day. She says that she landed and that they were settled in and that there was going to be a personal chef that was going to cook for them for the weekend. This also actually isn't too shocking. For those wondering, you can split to have someone come and cook and it be affordable-ish. I earlier was talking about groceries, but this group was kind of stepping it up a notch.
Yeah. I never had a personal chef before. I know you did in... Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I think it was for the night in the morning or something like that. It was nice. And then you don't have to worry about like going out to pay for tea and anything.
True.
Now, Tranquilla at one point looked like she was having a good time. Literally, she posted on her Instagram having fun, getting ready to hit the pool, even enjoying the other girls' company. But by the next day, Tranquilla would be dead.
So they got it on the 28th and she died on the 29th?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, I want to fast forward and discuss this from the side of Tranquilla's mother, who hadn't heard from her daughter in a while on the 29th. She was slightly surprised when Khalil called her. At first, she thought maybe something happened to Tranquilla's phone, but was met with a concern when Khalil was on the other line and actually sounded concerned. He said that Tranquilla wasn't feeling well. He told her that she'd been drinking too much and that they had decided to call a doctor to come to the villa. Now, mind you, they are in a foreign country where English isn't the first language. Actually, let me rephrase that. The group didn't have Spanish as their first language. Tranquilla's mother was confused. She'd been drinking too much.
You can just call a doctor to the villa?
Yeah, you can make like house calls. But you can do that anywhere.
911 and then police come in the ambulance?
Oh, we're going to get to that, actually.
Okay.
Tranquilla was someone who had her own businesses, her own responsibilities, a natural-born leader. This didn't sound like her. And that's not to say that if you get a little too drunk, you're automatically irresponsible. I myself have definitely had a few nights where I've had one too many tequila sodas, and I'm like the most responsible person I know. But Tranquilla to drink to the point that a doctor had to be called, that was enough to be terrifying.
Yeah, I could imagine another parent. You can't do much, yeah.
Right. Does this mean she would need her stomach pumped? Was it alcohol poisoning? Now, Khalil called Tranquilla's mother sometime in the afternoon. And later on, during all of this, Nazir Wiggins, who I mentioned earlier, arrives to the villa. I'm going to switch to Nazir a little bit, because to this day, Nazir is the only one in the group that has publicly spoken out. He's gone on social media to talk about this entire incident. The group would later be known as the Cabo Six. Nazir claimed that Khalil and the group gave a similar story when he made his acabo around 2:15 p.m., that Tranquilla was sick, and it was almost as if they were preparing him for a scene.
The Cabo Six? Is that like a spinoff to Central Park Five?
I would hope not, because the Central Park Five, they were like a bunch of young kids, and These people are fucking...
I wonder who gave him that name. That's an interesting one. The Cabo Six.
Once Nazir arrived at the villa, he noticed that all five people were in one room while Tranquilla was in a bathroom slumped over a toilet. Now, this is Nazir's version in a post that has now since been deleted, but to be clear, he says that he went to the bathroom to comfort Tranquilla. It's strange, though, in a five-bedroom home, everyone is in one room with no one checking on Tranquilla. It took Nazir, someone who had just gotten there, to check on their friend. Nazir claimed that he played soft music in the bathroom and rubbed Tranquilla's head while she was sick.
Nazir claimed that he rubbed her head while...
Yeah, and like played soft music in the bathroom.
Tried to console her, I guess.
Or just comfort her.
Okay, that's don't know. That's not something I would do, but I don't know.
It doesn't sit right. It doesn't totally sit right in my spirit either. Yeah. The doctor wouldn't end up making a house call till about 3:30 p.m. And just to give a little bit of background, Cabo, and especially in this area, this like party area, I'm going to even talk about it a little bit more, but that's a place where, like, you know, people do make like house calls. If you have like too much to drink or like if you're not feeling well, you can call a doctor and have them come to the, you know, home without having to go out, which might even be like helpful, if especially if like English isn't your first language, to be able to call a doctor to come to the location.
Wow, that'd be different, though. You're assuming that the doctor speaks English?
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Maybe it's...
I don't know. Just calling a doctor immediately just doesn't... I don't know. I feel like it should be ambulance with EMTs and stuff. And then they'll take you to a doctor, but I just never heard of a doctor making a home call in another country like that.
That's fair. Dr. Carolina Beatriz Ornelas Gutierrez.
Is it Carolina?
You want to do it?
I'll try. Dr. Carolina Beatriz Ornelas Gutierrez.
Okay. Gutierrez. From the American Medical Center, arrived within an hour and found, quote, a female in stable condition but dehydrated, disoriented, verbally unresponsive, unable to communicate, and appearing to be intoxicated. Which to me does not sound like someone that's in stable position or condition. The explanation given to the doctor was that Shankwella, quote, drank a lot of alcohol. The doctor recommended that Shankwella be admitted into the hospital, but the Cabo Six insisted that she be treated in the villa.
Who are y'all to make decisions here?
During medical treatment, the doctor attempted to administer an IV drip. This is usually to help add hydration. You may see people order IV drips to their homes. It's actually pretty big on reality TV when people are hungover after a night out. You can call a service to get an IV drip to help you.
So people use IV drips when they're too drunk?
Like the next morning, like if you're really hungover, you can
whatever happens happen to, like, I don't know, the traditional just duke it out. Maybe, you know, drink water.
It's a business for everything.
Take your time. They're just trying to find a shortcut to everything.
The doctor did believe that Shankwella was intoxicated. She was basically incoherent and unresponsive.
The doctor didn't believe she was intoxicated?
She did believe.
Oh, okay.
However, Shankwella's condition worsened when she suffered a tonic-clonic seizure, which is basically a stiffening of the body, arms, and legs, around 4:13 p.m., about 1 hour after the doctor's arrival. An ambulance was then called around 4:20 p.m. after Shankwella began having trouble breathing, with her pulse dropping as well. Shankwella then suffered a cardiac arrest. To give some background, Winter Donovan was the one that called 911. I don't know why the doctor didn't. I don't know if it was that she was tending to Shankwella and then instructed Winter to call, but Winter's
the one. Cabo 6 was given notice, they probably said, we're calling the cops.
Yeah. Paramedics were called and came to the scene around 4:49 p.m., They tried to resuscitate Shankwella, administering 14 CPR rounds of cardiac vascular compressions and intrathoracic pressure to her chest.
Yeah, intrathoracic, yeah.
In an attempt to reestablish venous blood oxygen saturation and blood flow, as well as injecting 5 doses of adrenaline and 6 electrical discharges from a defibrillator.
Wow.
However, they were unable to revive any return of a heartbeat, pulse, blood flow, reflexes, or any other human vital sign. And I know it feels like I'm going super fast. How does it go from Shankwella being sick in the bathroom to this? So let me go back a bit. Nazir shared a lot about this day and a lot of other things, in fact, on social media. In videos and Instagram live streams that have since been deleted, he spoke about the day, and like I said, he mentioned trying to comfort Shankwella at least until the doctor arrived around 4. There are multiple reports that say that around the time that the paramedics arrive, Shankwella's mom is then informed that they were called and that Shankwella's condition had gone from bad to worse. At 5:35 p.m., police arrive at the villa and spoke with Dr. Gutierrez to try to get a rundown of what exactly happened here. To be clear, paramedics arrived at the scene around 4:50, with police following after by about half an hour. At 5:57 p.m., Shankwella went into cardiac arrest and was pronounced dead. The police results report that Shankwella died from cardiac pulmonary arrest. Now, At first, it's clear, if not unsurprising, people go out on vacation and drink a bit too much, whether they are drinkers and trying to have a good time, or they are people who drink heavily and overtested their limits.
It could be peer pressure.
Exactly. Sometimes people's drinks are laced with something. I recall around this time, there was like a big frenzy of a couple cases in the Dominican Republic where it was like fake alcohol or something being served, and it was fatal, which is terrifying.
There was also something with Mexico where like people were being kidnapped. But obviously that's not what happened here.
From face value, this case would have been considered a young woman who met a tragedy. But there are blaring things that don't add up. From Shanquilla's social media, she was an avid traveler. She knew enough to know where she was at, how to take care of herself, especially if she's in the home with people that she's familiar with. And then there was how everyone was acting, not wanting Shanquilla to go to the hospital. These are 25-year-old adults, not underage teens, like you were saying. And maybe if they were teenagers, it would be an understandable excuse. Maybe you're afraid, but not when you're an adult. And not wanting the police to get involved. And then it was everyone acting so freaking weird. Nazir lands and he's allegedly the only one tending to Shanquilla while the others hide in a room together. This may just be me being cynical, but it's hard not to wonder if they were all together trying to get their story straight. Was this just a fatal accident, or were there more sinister mediums at play? Shanquilla's family is obviously in disarray. I mean, Shanquilla's mom had spoken to her daughter, yesterday? And now she was dead? It didn't make any sense. Plus, her daughter died in a foreign country. The number one thing on their mind was getting answers and then getting their daughter back home. First, I want to discuss the autopsy report because that was brought to Shanquilla's family first. And what it revealed was that Shanquilla had not actually died from alcohol poisoning.
Was it like blunt force trauma?
Yeah, we're going to get there.
Sorry.
No, you're an inquisitive mind. It was Khalil who told Shanquilla's mother that Shanquilla had died, and apparently the story he shared just didn't seem believable. Now, I can remember back when this story broke, there were different posts saying that the Cabo Six had fled the villa and gone to a different hotel. I'm going to get more into that later, but I do want to note that they did leave the villa and Shanquilla's body and immediately returned home to the States. Khalil actually took all of Shanquilla's belongings back to the States and returned them to her family. Salamandra, who is Shanquilla's mother, didn't feel right about any of this, but things got worse when she received the news that Shanquilla's 24 hours in Mexico were much darker than just the alleged overintoxication. See, Shanquilla had gotten into a physical altercation with someone, plural, in the group. This was a major fact that Khalil had not mentioned when he called her. Now, I mentioned earlier that it seemed the Cabo Six have been getting their stories straight, or may have been getting their stories straight, but each of them, upon returning from Cabo, spoke to Salamandra, Shanquilla's mom, and I guess they weren't as savvy as I almost gave them credit for, because they all told different stories. One thing was for certain from their stories, they were all hiding something. 2 weeks after the death of Shanquilla, on November 10th, 2022, her family received the official autopsy after contacting the FBI. The report revealed that Shanquilla died from a spinal cord injury and a broken neck. It also disclosed that Shanquilla died within 15 minutes of her injury and died at 3 p.m.
Wow, so she was dead this whole time. And the doctor's over there trying to revive a dead body.
To share more details, on November 5th, a notarized English translation of Shanquilla's death certificate based on an autopsy report from the forensic doctor Renee A. Galavan Osquiera from the Secretarian of Health Baja California Sur, dated on November 4th, 2022, was released. The autopsy report described Shanquilla's death 15 minutes after suffering from a severe spinal cord injury and an atlas luxation, with a dislocation of a separation of the skull base from the atlas bone, which is, I guess, essentially the first bone of the neck.
Okay, so wait, how many autopsies were done in total? It seems like there were one in the Co.
And then there's going to be one that's in the U.S.
Okay, so what about this, the FBI one that's the U.S. or that's the...
Yeah. Although both of the autopsies are essentially, like, the same. Yeah, they're but they're going to be... They're not consistent with the police report.
Yeah, of course. We know that part. Yeah. But that's going to more so tell the truth.
Right. And naturally, this is a what the hell moment. Because this is completely and utterly different than the timeline that I laid out.
It sucks because, like, you said Khalil was close with the family and close with Shanquilla. But then how do you have anything to lie to them about what's going on with their daughter?
Exactly.
That's cold.
If this is accurate, then Shanquilla was dead by the time the doctor arrived, which brings me to my next question. Maybe it isn't just the Cabo 6 that are hiding things. The police report and the autopsy report don't match. To make matters worse, when this occurred in real time, Salamandra actually had no idea that the doctor would have been there when Shanquilla died, which leads me to believe that maybe she was called around 4:30 or 4:45 when the paramedics arrived. Still, none of the times are matching up. But before we can even get into that mystery, there are serious injuries Shanquilla has. The question is, how did she get them?
Yeah, it feels like a physical altercation, right? I get it. Like, two people far with however many people. Yeah. How does it end up being this brutal? This egregious? I don't know. That's insane. It seems more personal than anything. And, like, they wanted... I don't know. It just feels like... premeditated in a way.
That's interesting you say that. Authorities in Mexico determined that this was an accidental death and that there were not signs of foul play. It was suggested that the family hire a private investigator. This was on top of the $6,000 that the family had to pay to have Shanquilla's body flown back to North Carolina. To give a timeline of the family's experience, they receive the autopsy report. Then Shanquilla is flown back, following a police report that does not match. According to Salamandra, upon seeing her daughter's body, Shanquilla looked like she had essentially been in a fight with bruising. I did wonder if the bruising could have come from the attempt to resuscitate, but that wouldn't explain the broken neck. Like,
yeah, and autopsies will be able to tell, like, when bruising came, whether it occurred after, post, or before, so.
Oh, that's a good point. And listeners, if you are wondering why the police didn't get more involved at this point and wanted the case just be closed, watch season 2 of The Wire. At this point in 2022, Shanquilla's story is blowing up. Social media is going off and people agree there's more to the story. And listen, people are quick to look into the sketchy Cabo 6 crew. All of them were revealed. I mean... they even went as far as finding their LinkedIn pages, like showing who these people were, bombarding them, rightfully so, with messages and questions. And it was around November 15th that the news broke even more when a video was surfaced of Shanquilla on vacation being brutally attacked on this trip. She is fighting another girl, or I should say the girl is fighting her. It isn't clear when this happened, the day that they landed, which doesn't seem likely, only because I would think that Shanquilla would have called her mom to say what went down. So I believe it was the next day, the day that she died. Her family does confirm that in this video, it is Shanquilla. And in the video, you see that Shanquilla appears to be fighting Dejanay Jackson.
Is there a video of it, of the fight?
Mm-hmm. You can tell that it's daytime because of the natural light. Shanquilla appears to not have clothes on, and Dejanay is just assaulting her, hitting her, and she throws her to the ground. This is already an unfair assault because Shanquilla clearly wasn't ready. She isn't wearing any clothes. She's exposed, and someone is filming. At one point, Dejanay knees Shanquilla in the head. The video is disturbing, to say the least. What makes it worse is no one is helping Shanquilla. At one point, you can even hear a voice urging Shanquilla to hit back. Clearly, Shanquilla was incapacitated, and it's like, why didn't anybody step in? We don't know when this video was filmed, per se, but we know that it is in the time frame that Shanquilla dies, and it cannot be counted out that the assault isn't connected.
I don't think I ever watched a video that was on, if it was on Twitter, I don't think I ever watched that.
Yeah.
I might have scrolled past it, but...
It's interesting because as the story gets bigger on social media, there's this beautiful photo of Shanquella that would later be used as her obituary, and it's shared around. And people were outraged about this case. I have to admit, I was sick to my stomach and angry. I think most people had the same consensus. This shouldn't happen. Friends, hell, people don't do this to one another. And what would have provoked this attack? Khalil also seems to disappear as this case gets bigger. He was going over to Shanquella's house and visiting her family after she passed.
But, and the family was like welcoming him? Or they just wanted some sort of answers and be able to question?
I mean, I don't know if that's clear. I think that at the time they probably thought he was somewhat of an ally because they knew him. Like, you know, it's like they knew him.
Like, when you called me, you didn't tell me anything about a physical altercation. You called me and said my daughter is drunk and she drank too much.
I think eventually he goes MIA once the video is exposed. Because eventually he does disappear. And it's not clear whether he got legal coverage advising him to stay low or if he was just afraid to face the family after hiding that major piece of the story or if his motives were much more sinister and keep tabs on what Shanquella's family
knew. I mean, he probably was in a hard place trying to deal with, like, maybe, wasn't him DeJanae was probably like, I don't know, just say this, or maybe the group is saying, just tell the mom this, and he didn't want to be, I don't know, he might be next, who knows, but.
Yeah. Shanquella's funeral was on November 19th at her childhood church, Macedonia Baptist Church, almost a month after her death. Her family were able to bury her, and the funeral was attended by hundreds. But many people knew of the beautiful homegoing ceremony online.
That's good.
Now, it was time for the Robinson family to get answers. I can recall, I thought the Cabo Six would be arrested for murder. It felt like that. And after weeks of pressure from the Mexican authority and the FBI in Charlotte, both entities were now really, really looking into the case. Once the police report and autopsy were compared, Mexican authority were investigating the doctor and responding officers. On November 23rd, Mexican authority announced they were issuing an arrest warrant for one person. But the question is who? The doctor or the police officers? At first, it wasn't clear who it was for until the charges were revealed. This person was being charged with femicide, which is a gender-based murder charge.
Never heard that before.
Me neither.
Did you look it up? What is femicide?
A gender-based murder charge.
Oh, you did just say that. But who were they charging with this?
It became clear that the person they were looking for was DeJanae Jackson.
But what made him rule it a femicide instead of just a homicide?
I mean, I'm assuming they're saying if you're charged based on your gender, probably the fight. A woman versus a woman. And I don't really hear much of that being popular in the United States, so maybe it's not as popular.
So it's saying, you're saying it's something in Mexico?
I don't want to like say that 100% and be wrong. In fact, if anyone listening has any idea, please let us know.
So it's like a guy on a guy.
Mastercide. Maybe. I feel like we should both be wrong.
Probably, but whatever. We'll look it up later. Fact check later.
Authorities had changed their tune in 2022, saying that this was a direct attack and were working with the U.S. authority to extradite DeJanae. At this point in 2022, when this was released, people were ecstatic. Finally, justice for this horrific attack. At this point, though, there were still so many questions, like how can it be proven that the attack caused Shanquella's death? What about the intoxication theory? And yeah, DeJanae was a complete monster, but there were five other people involved, which only Nazir allegedly, let him tell it, being the somewhat innocent bystander. And then there's just the negligence all around. The Mexican authorities allowed the suspects or witnesses to leave the country. There were conflicting reports done, and we don't really know if any further injury could have been caused during resuscitation. I cannot help to think about the politics in this as well. A major source of income from Mexico is international travel and vacation. To hear about a young girl being killed from the U.S. could hurt the economy. Maybe sweeping it under the rug quickly was a consideration. Then there were the lies from the Cabo Six. Among many things, and many hearsay, for example, They'd even told Shankwella's mom at one point that her daughter's travel insurance was of no use in Mexico and that the emergency room required $5,000 in cash for her daughter to be seen. Allegedly, Shankwella's mother noted that that money was also missing from Shankwella's belongings. It was all basically a clusterfuck, to say the least. Mexico and the states were not working together, in fact. On November 18th, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, field office in Charlotte, North Carolina, confirmed, quote, "It has also opened an investigation in the death of Charlotte resident Shankwella Robinson in Cabo San Lucas, Mexico, on or about October 29th, 2022. Due to the ongoing investigation, we have no further comment." They added, "Our investigation is completely separate from Mexico," with the spokesperson saying that he was not privy to anything that they're doing in Mexico, any of the investigation happening there, which is kind of crazy that they're not working together at all.
I was going to say, maybe it's there's a benefit to it, but that there's no, like, I guess, influence. Everybody does their own thing, but at some point, they should meet in the middle one.
Exactly.
Communicate whatever the final findings is.
And then everything kind of went quiet. I can't tell you when things slowed down, but it also feels, again, political. That Mexican arrest warrant was issued, but because the U.S. was doing a separate investigation, it never appeared like Desjardins or any of the six, for that matter, against the Robinson family's wishes, were actually extradited.
So wait, the friends were never taken in for questioning from the police. They just left them in the villa and they were able to leave freely. Their passports wasn't subpoenaed, anything. They just...
It appears so. They were able to make it home
on time when the flight that they purchased.
They probably even left earlier.
That's insane.
By April 2023, the Department of Justice said it would not seek federal prosecution. Investigators could not prove beyond a reasonable doubt that a federal crime was committed. But the FBI has still refused to release files on Shankwella's death. They confirmed in November that their investigation is still active. The Charlotte Observer reported that the Bureau had not released a file concerning Shankwella's death because they fear it may, quote, interfere with any prospective law enforcement proceedings. The U.S. did do their own autopsy, like I mentioned before, and they found that unlike the Mexican death report or autopsy report, the Mecklenburg County's autopsy found a hematoma of the forehead consistent with blunt force trauma. But this is kind of weird. They did not find evidence of any neck or spinal cord injuries.
That's they reported in Mexico?
Right.
Oh, that's super off.
It's very strange. And also, there was no alcohol found in her system.
At all.
Right.
Like, her blood levels were absolutely zero. That's crazy.
As for the group, allegedly when they fled Mexico, they didn't let their Airbnb, or I'm saying Airbnb, but the hotel, whatever, the owner, right, the hostess owner, know that they were leaving. In fact, Desjardins did not respond to a text message from a staffer asking where she was until October 31st when she informed the staffer that the group had gone home. Witnesses in Mexico said that it was kind of apparent that the Cabo Six weren't taking it as seriously at the time. One staffer in Mexico said that Desjardins gave him an indifferent hug when he offered his condolences and claimed he later heard laughing coming from the room after he walked out in order to give the group some space. It's interesting that Desjardins, the same person who assaulted Shankwella, was the one handling the hostess, I guess, information and being given condolences, only to essentially fall off the face of the earth upon receiving backlash. Khalil, for what it's worth, upon returning from the trip, apparently was acting pretty nervous around the family, even going as far as sweating and fidgeting whenever he was questioned by them. It all feels just like confusion and chaos, with a mix of diplomatics and politics being thrown into the mix. Since Shankwella's death, there have been balloon releases, a community demonstration and support, even went to Washington, D.C. to ask for reinforcements. Most times, they were met with quotes that didn't follow much movement. For example, in March 2023, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre shared limited insight, citing ongoing efforts by the FBI, Department of Justice, and State Department, stating, quote, "Let me be the first to say our hearts go out to Ms. Robinson's family and friends. It is devastating what has occurred." Shankwella's family hired their own attorney, Sue Ann Robinson, who was incredibly intelligent. She's gorgeous. She's so charismatic. She's like an Olivia Pope level lawyer. She had been the spokesperson for the family. But Shinquilla's parents have done interviews, then they are willing to do anything to keep this case current. As of today, no one has been incarcerated for Shinquilla's murder. The case remains both open and closed. The family is considering suing the Cabo Six and has since sent a letter to Tubi, the streaming platform, for a cease and desist after they made a fictional movie based on Shinquilla's death. Which was eerie to not even communicate with the family. Yeah. That's gross. And Tubi has received a lot of backlash. Other than that, I haven't seen a major documentary come out as yet. But this does make me think of the era we live in now. I mean, if you haven't heard of Zeus Network, which I mentioned earlier, you're lying because it's become a phenomenon. And the point of the entire service, streaming service, is to watch Black women just attack each other. Mm-hmm. But there's always someone that steps in, and no one did that for Shinquilla. They just let her be assaulted. And the worst thing is, we will never know why. My theory is jealousy. Shinquilla was beautiful. She was her own boss. She was used to traveling. She was fulfilled. Khalil, her quote friend, has to live with the fact that he stood by while this happened. It also makes me think about being so careful with who you travel with. Even if Shinquilla had survived, being attacked in a foreign country, it's absolutely sick. It's also traumatic. That kind of violence is just normalized in our society, and it ends in fatality. Those six people, their lives are also changed. This will always stick with them. And it should. Shame on them. As for Shinquilla's family, they are still seeking justice for the baby girl. It looks like we will have to wait and see if any changes come about.
Yeah, that's insane that nobody was charged yet. Still an ongoing investigation, so that gives us some hope. I do know that the justice system tends to take its time to charge people for their crimes. I also agree that every one of them is guilty by association. Maybe not for the same charge, obviously, but they all should be charged with something. And, like, there's nothing wrong with, like, getting into, like, a tussle, but to the point where somebody can't come back home to the family, yeah, to be done. Hopefully justice is served and the Shinquilla family gets some sort of closure.
Yeah.
But yes, rest in peace, Shinquilla Robinson.
Well said. Thank you all for joining me. It's time for our true crime fact of the episode. This one is from Quora. The highest number of serial killers per capita is in Colombia, with 53.6 per 100,000 people.
I never knew that. That's
yeah.
crazy.
You were there too.
Yeah. Glad I'm back.
Well, if this makes you feel safe, if you're listening from the U.S., I have a spooky one for you, too. The FBI estimates that there are between 25 and 50 active serial killers in the United States at any given time.
Yeah, that's...
That's even spooky.
That's scary as hell.
Please share this episode and follow me on TikTok. That's where I'm really going to be chatting. All of my handles and sources are in the show notes. And please rate 5 stars. Email me, DM me, the whole shebang. And with that being said, keep walking in the light with love. Until next time, Ivana Estelle.